You're listening to Bison Report Radio.
It's going to be interesting to see how Richmond wants to play this in terms of what he does. If he does want to go out and try to get some immediate help there.
The man, the myth, the legend, Greg Menard, rushing the passer from his right end position as a senior, and I think a legitimate National Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio from Scout.com. Here's your host, Ryan Burns and Ross Uglum.
And welcome back to another episode of the BisonReport.com radio podcast. This being our preview edition as we look at Northern Iowa. They are going to be coming up to the Fargo Dome this weekend. This is a Northern Iowa team that has been playing very well their last couple of weeks. So this is going to be a very, very interesting game for the Bison as they continue their gauntlet of a schedule that they had of late. But joining me, as always, to preview these NDSU football games is my co-host, Ross Uglum. Ross, how are you on a Friday?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Well, good deal. So let's get into this right away. Let's get into the news and notes. And really the only news we have since we last spoke, Ross, was Jabril Cox being added to the FCS freshman watch list, the Jerry Rice Award watch list. That shouldn't be any surprise the way he's been playing of late. But I think it just speaks to how well Jabril Cox has been playing in the absence of a couple other linebackers. So what do you think of Jabril Cox being added to the Jerry Rice Award watch list?
Just keeping the hype train moving. He is a very impressive athlete and a very good football player, and NDSU is lucky to have him for the next 3.5 seasons. But just keep that hype train moving, and it's certainly impressive that it's made it to the national level.
Absolutely. So when we talk about a little bit of recruiting time here with me, with Ryan Burns, there's not a whole lot new since we last spoke. We talked about a couple of the names that we're watching here. And it helps when kids that are 17, 18 years old who are on their phones all the time either want to answer a text, a DM, a phone call, a smoke signal, a Facebook request. So I don't really have too much new. But again, the two names we're watching right now are Iowa tight end Ben Subbert and then Illinois athlete Destin Talbert. So before we get into Ross's first interview of the day, how about a quick word from our sponsor?
Dreaming of being faster, stronger, and more confident? Let the professionals at Dynasty Performance Training morph your body into dominating the competition. Their proven workouts will correct your form, hit your goals, reduce injuries, and enhance your life. And the team at Dynasty Performance Training will be with you every step, every lift, and every sprint on your way there. Visit DynastyPerformanceTraining.com and research the experts today for athletes, for adults, for teams, for you.
All right, I had a chance to talk with NDSU junior cornerback Jalen Allison, and he's not the only cornerback that we'll get to talk to today. So here's my sit-down chat with Jalen right now.
All right, I'm here with junior defensive back Jalen Allison. Jalen, how's it going?
Feeling pretty good.
So this is kind of the year I would say that you are the elder statesman. What's it like having these young corners ask you questions and kind of look to you for leadership?
It's pretty new because I'm usually the quiet one, so I have to get out of my comfort zone and really go to them and help them out between things.
How important, getting out of your comfort zone, has it been to have Robbie and Trey, guys that you've worked for now for two or three seasons, and these are guys that have been in the program a long time?
I'm sorry, what was
just having Robbie and Trey as long as they've been back there and you kind of moving into a leadership role, but they've been playing together now for three seasons. What has it helped you move out of your comfort zone and be more of a leader, kind of bouncing stuff off of them?
Dimp always telling me that I need to be more vocal and step up and tell people when they're doing wrong. So, and Dimp's he's the most vocal person I've ever met. So, he'll tell you how it is no matter what the situation.
What is your impressions of the young corners? Jalen Wimbush is somebody you worked with last year, but now seeing Dom Davis and certainly Marquise Bridges play, what's your impressions of those guys?
They're all very good. Wimbush is actually in my grade, so
okay.
We've been playing together basically been playing together the whole time. He was a safety at first, though.
Right.
Yeah, so, but Dom Davis has really stepped up, and Keith has always been good, too. We didn't have that last year, so it's just good.
So you guys have mostly been kind of, have you guys been playing mostly field and boundary or left and right, or how have you been kind of handing off the duties so far this season?
I usually go to the boundary.
Okay.
And Wimbush will usually be in 12 personnel, whereas like slot, we have to be on LOS.
Yep.
And Keith or Dom will come in for coverage type purposes.
And now you guys are getting into a part of the season where there are more what I guess I would say featured receivers. Like you guys just had Acklin, Darius Fountain's a guy that's been there for a long time, and you have Winicky coming down the road, whereas maybe not so much in the future. Is that going to change what you do, or do you guys really feel comfortable kind of in what you're doing now?
I think we feel comfortable in what we're doing now. So,
and it's not something that you want to take upon yourself to shut down their number one guy?
I think I'll definitely follow their number one guy, but, like, they move them around sometimes, different personnels. So, like, 12 or 11, they might line up to the field. I might just go to the boundary still.
So you prefer not to play slot, in other words?
Yeah.
Sure. All right, what have you seen on film so far from Northern Iowa that might be different from an offense that you've faced so far?
They're a big RPO team.
Okay.
So they have the fake run to fade ball or glance. So you have to really be keyed into it.
Yeah, you're paying attention the whole time.
Yeah.
What are your goals for the rest of the season and the team goals for the rest of the season?
Team goals, still go undefeated, play the perfect game. We still have a bunch of sloppy games, and my personal goal is to play as much as I can to a perfect game.
All right, thank you.
All right, Ryan, let's break it down. You and I, NDSU, this one's always physical.
It is extremely physical, and NDSU is going to have to play physical up front. Is this going to be a physical contest, Ross? And when you look at it, let's look at last year. I know that you just went back and watched the tape from this 2016 tilt down in Cedar Falls. A 24-20 victory for the Bison, and a large part of that was because Eli Dunn threw four picks. So when you went back and you watched the tape from last year, what did you gain from that NDSU-UNI tilt?
Well, it's got me excited to maybe get a couple hours this afternoon to watch a little bit of UNI from this season, just because Eli Dunn was so bad in that game. I think he had four picks and definitely threw two other very interceptable balls. And also the running back that's playing so well for them did not get carries in that game as well. It was mostly Tyvus Smith and the Iowa transfer, Michael Malloy. So that game maybe did not provide as many answers as I was kind of looking for in kind of preparation for this. And I guess, unfortunately, will lead to some alone time with the Watch ESPN app this afternoon.
All right, and so when you look at the season for UNI, it's been a little bit up and down. They lost three of their first five games. They were able to sneak out a 45-30 overtime victory over Cal Poly. Then they lose to Southern Utah on the road. But then the last 2 weeks, they head up to Brookings to South Dakota State, win by 20, and then they beat Youngstown State at home last week. So it's been quite an up and down ride for the Panthers.
Yeah, that seems to be the modus operandi of Coach Farley and his staff every season. They really like to sort of get written off and then make this valiant charge towards the playoffs at the end of the season. And it kind of depends on where NDSU falls in their schedule, whether or not that charge pays off. They've got this date with the Bison, and then I believe they also play Illinois State. And I was listening to the insiders on Bison 1660, and I have to say I definitely agree with Jeremy Jorgensen. They have to win one of these two games or they will not be going to the postseason. So this is the first in a run of what really I think is going to be some desperate opponents for NDSU moving forward. I think UNI definitely has to win. I think it's very likely South Dakota State is going to be in a must-win situation next weekend. And then I would honestly probably guess that to close the season, Illinois State will probably have to win that game against NDSU to advance to the playoffs as well. So the Bison are going to have some good opponents here coming up, and they're also going to have some desperate opponents as well. So a fight to the finish for NDSU, certainly.
When you look at the amount of success that UNI's had the last 2 weeks, we mentioned it, wins over South Dakota State, wins over Youngstown State. A huge part of that is their rushing game, and you pointed this out to me in the pre-production meeting. Coming into this game as a team, Northern Iowa is running for 108 yards a game, but their last two games alone, they've run the ball 60 times and 47 times, and for 181 yards and then 218 yards, and a big chunk of that is because of Marcus, I believe we're going to pronounce it Waymiller, someone that has 42 and 29 rushing attempts the last 2 weeks. So it seems pretty clear to me, Ross, that this NDSU front seven is going to be tested here early and often by Marcus.
For sure. And I think, like I said, that's the main reason I want to kind of go on to watch ESPN and check out some UNI, because this is not a guy I really don't think that got a single carry against North Dakota State last year, and is somebody that I would like to pay attention to his running style. That power back that you saw last weekend in Norris from WIU was not effective at all, and frankly, just historically, trying to line up and mash face with NDSU has not been the best recipe for success for opposing offenses. So I don't have a ton of concern about this guy. I have always definitely had more concern about mobile quarterbacks and your jitterbug running backs. I know the one that always sticks in NDSU fans' mind is Shakir Bell, who used to play at Indiana State and engineered quite the upset of the Bison. But that doesn't mean that, you know, bad tackling couldn't rear its ugly head against Weimiller, because it absolutely can, and NDSU has to be strong and physical and wrap up.
We already mentioned Eli Dunn, his performance last year, and he's obviously going to have to play better if UNI is going to have a chance here. For those who don't know the Vegas spread in this game, NDSU is a 17-point home victory, which is a very interesting line to me considering the amount of success that UNI has had in recent weeks, but I guess Vegas really respects NDSU in the Fargo Dome. But Eli Dunn, he got to play at home last year against this Bison squad, 4 picks. I mean, how much better does Eli Dunn need to play if UNI is going to be able to keep this game close?
Well, I keep going back to it, but I really want to watch UNI play this year. He was brutal against North Dakota State a season ago. I really felt like he had 6 interceptable passes, 4 of which were actually intercepted, and just was not impressive in any phase of the game. If he plays like that in the Dome, UNI is going to have a really short afternoon. So, like I said, I just kind of want to see if there's any market improvement there from Dunn. He does have a few weapons, certainly, and this Bison secondary is doing nothing but gaining confidence as these young players like Bridges and Davis get more snaps.
Yeah, so before we get into your Dom Davis interview, we got to talk about the second consecutive wide receiver one these corners are going to face. And Dorius Fountain, you look at what he's done the last couple of weeks, 3 for 99, 4 for 71 and a touch. And then on the season, he's the leading receiver for this UNI squad, 39 receptions for 625 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's just about 16 yards a catch. So how do you think that these cornerbacks are going to match up here?
Well, I talked to them about a few X's and O's things in the interviews that you hear here. It seems like they've kind of gone yet another interesting way about defending opposing teams. I always thought it was interesting the way that they utilized C.J. Smith in our first year together at the Bison Report, and now this is year two of Jalen Allison being CB1. They've actually pretty much gone with a formational approach. On passing downs, they will put Allison on the boundary, and then they will put the nickel package to the field. So regardless of basically where these receivers line up, Allison is defending the short field by himself, and then the big part of the field is being defended by the nickel and the other cornerback. So whether that's Robbie Grimsley and Bridges / Davis or Wimbush and Bridges / Davis, these are these are the guys that are going to defend Dorius Fountain. And after their contest against Jalen Acklin, like I mentioned, this is pretty much the second time this season that they've really faced a WR1.
So you want to take us into our Dom Davis interview?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a chance to talk to Dom, I think, last season when he was playing nickel, and we sort of discussed his progression as a player and discussed his new responsibilities this season. I had a nice little conversation with Dom, and we'll play that for you right now.
Here with Bison sophomore defensive back Dom Davis. Dom, how's it going?
Pretty good.
So this has been kind of a year of transition for you. Last year you were pretty locked into that nickel spot, and now you're pretty locked in outside. Did you prefer one over the other? How do you feel like you're developing outside?
I think I'm developing pretty good. The coaches talked to me during fall camp about, you know, focusing on one role, and they told me that I would it would probably be better if I focused just at corner, and then if I develop that and get well at that, then we could possibly start working at nickel again. But I think as of right now, I've had corner, you know, I've been learning pretty good.
with Jalen, both Jalen there, and, you know, Keith from time to time asking questions. You know, we ask each other questions to make sure that we're on the same page.
Yeah, you and Marquise are in the same class, but he started out at wide receiver. How often does he bounce things off of you?
He comes to me a few times. You know, we kind of bump heads on things every once in a while because we're, you know, when we go with the twos, me and him are in at the same time. So it's kind of like, what did you see? You know, what did I see? And then we kind of talk about it to make sure that if I see something that he didn't get, I tell him about it so he knows what to expect or what to do in that situation, and he does the same for me.
Are you and Marquise kind of still in competition for that other cornerback spot, or is this more of a rotation at this point in the season?
You know, there's always competition going on in the DB group, you know, especially a corner with Jalen Wimbush, me, Keith. You know, you have Josh in there, you have T4, you know, there's a lot of corners still competing for the spot. So there'll always be competition, rotation, you know, how good you do at practice, how you perform in games, you know, so there's always competition going on.
You feel like that keeps you sharper?
Yes, it keeps you on your toes because, you know, you can't just go out there and try to get through the day or through a game and just be like, oh, it's fine, because then you'll get pulled right like that, and then it's the next man up because you're not performing well.
The cornerback group is certainly talented, but you guys are still young. How important is Jalen Allison to the group? Have somebody that you can kind of bounce things off of, but also somebody who you know is going to be on the field every snap.
It's pretty good. I love having Jalen out there just for different things because he, you know, he usually plays into the boundary and, you know, a different technique that goes into playing that or playing the field. So if you could bounce a few questions off of him, just how he does this and how he does that, it'll help me a lot to figure just the small things out, because that's the big thing, is figuring out the small things.
How important are you two upperclassmen safeties, Robbie and Trey, not only just from communication, but just the stability in the back end?
Having Robbie and Demp back there is amazing. Like, I don't know if there's any safeties in college football like that. They're just amazing communicators, make sure everybody's on the right page. They kind of know everything that everybody's doing. So if you ever feel like, you know, you don't know what's going on, you could always look to your safeties, and them two will know exactly what you have to do and know the right spots to put you in.
So they make your job quite a bit easier.
Yes.
So what have you seen from Northern Iowa on film that might be a little bit different from guys that you've already played so far?
You know, Northern Iowa, it's kind of the same thing that we've seen before. You know, it's just taking – they have the wide splits, or, you know, it's the things we've seen in the past. We just have to bring it back because we've seen – they have a few things that we've seen at Indiana State, you know, a few things in Missouri State, like all games that we've played, and we just have to bring it back and make sure to play our technique right.
You guys have sort of played you know, you were saying field and boundary. I've noticed that there haven't been a ton of featured receivers until last week. I mean, with Ackland, and now you guys are going to play Fountain, and Winicky, of course, is coming. Do you anticipate any shift in what you defensive backs do now that you're kind of going up against some definite number one wide receivers?
I think we have a great DB group, a great set of corners, great safety, so I don't think anything would change. You know, our coaches feel confident about us just going out there and being able to guard anybody. So I don't think we're going to change anything. We're going to stick to what we do and what we know, and we're just going to play football and play fast.
All right, thanks, Sean.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. All right, let's talk about the other side of the ball.
Let's do it. So when NDSU is on offense, they're going to be going against this Northern Iowa team that hasn't been exactly great against the run, but they've been even worse against the pass. They're giving up 266 yards a game through the air, over two touchdowns through the air through seven games. And so when you look at what Coach Messingham's going to try to do, if you were the offensive coordinator for NDSU in this game, what would your game plan be?
I think similar to the game plan of the sort of non-competitive games in the beginning of the season, where they really try to establish Easton Stick early. I think it's pretty clear that they can run the ball if they want to, but this pass defense is so weak that I think they can really open up the run by completing easy throws against UNI's pass defense. And yeah, I mean, that's what is going to kind of end up happening here, I think, is you'll see Stick test the pass defense, and then that'll open up some big plays in the run game, followed by what I would anticipate to be a grind out probably last quarter and a half. I would be surprised if NDSU is not in some sort of control of this game midway through the third quarter.
So when you look at, you know, Easton and this passing offense last year, Easton against this UNI team only threw 16 passes as NDSU ran the ball 45 times. But Easton last year, 8 of 16 with 2 picks and a touchdown. That's obviously going to have to improve. So if this passing game is going to take a step forward from last week and this last matchup, what is Easton and RJ and the rest of these wide receivers going to have to do?
Well, I'm actually looking for kind of a breakout game this weekend. Somebody besides RJ and Shep, I think, needs to make some plays. I don't know what it's going to be. Desmond Kane. It could be Sean Engel. I don't anticipate it being Demetri Williams because, as we'll discuss in a second, I sort of think Demetri Williams is RB3 this week. But they definitely have to make something happen. And I would anticipate against a weak pass defense, NDSU to maybe stress their receiving depth this week.
So when you look at the running back situation here before we get into our predictions here, Ross, you mentioned it, Lance Dunn, or mentioned it in the Monday press conference, that he looks doubtful. So is this going to be the Bruce Anderson show with some Ty Brooks mixed in, or how do you see things playing out at running back?
Yeah, that seems likely. I don't anticipate we'll see Lance Dunn. I don't anticipate we'll see Adam Cofield, and that pretty much leaves us with Bruce Anderson of guys that were ready to go last week. But the staff and Kleiman specifically seemed really excited about the possibility of having Ty Brooks back. One thing I would say with Brooks and then having Williams as RB3, it'll be interesting to me if potentially these guys decide to utilize somebody from a different position group as a kick returner. Desmond Kane, perhaps, Demetri Williams, Darius Shepherd, maybe one of the defensive guys, but if you only have two running backs healthy and they're Bruce Anderson and Ty Brooks, maybe don't have Bruce Anderson and Ty Brooks return kickoffs, but we'll see what the special teams coach decides to do there. I'm not sure that would just, like I said, sort of be a suggestion, but that would be my anticipation. I would see probably upwards of 25 carries going to Anderson, another 10 to 12 to Stick, another 8 to 10 to Brooks, and then, you know, if anything terrible happens, that's when you're going to end up in your Demetri Williams possibility. But even beyond that, Garrett Malmstrom had a very good career run in the football. Brock Robbins had an excellent career run in the football at Cavalier. You have guys on the offensive side of the ball who absolutely have running back experience to fall back on if things go really badly health-wise for this RB group.
All right, so before we get into our predictions for this NDSU versus UNI physical contest coming up on Saturday, let's get a final word from our sponsor.
How is it that NODAC insurance agents can answer all of your questions? When you focus on North Dakota, you know more. We don't have to respond to hurricanes in Florida, which makes it easier to respond to hailstorms and fender benders in Fargo. Hi, I'm Ross Ugly, your NODAC insurance company agent. I'm here in Fargo, which means the answers that give you peace of mind are right in front of you. Answers come easy with NODAC Insurance. Call me at 701-532-0891 to get the answers to your insurance questions today.
All right, so when we look at this game, again, I talked about it earlier from the Vegas perspective. NDSU is a 17-point home favorite, a 42 over-under in this game, which is very surprising to me. But, Ross, you are the elite NDSU football mind. When you see this game and how it's going to shake out, 2:30 kickoff on Saturday at about 5:45. What do you think the final score is going to be for this game?
I'm going to go 31-10. Bison defense only allowed 6 points last week. The other 6 were given up on a, well, not deflected, but on a pass where a Stick was hit in a pick six situation. I would obviously not count on that if I were you and I, and I think, frankly, Western was better equipped to score the ball against NDSU than UNI is. So I have a hard time giving UNI 14 or 17 points in this game. And their defense on paper just isn't great. I haven't seen their defense on film yet, but on paper, I'm not impressed. So I'm going to have to go with kind of a wide margin and 31-10 NDSU.
Sounds good. So that's Ross's official Bison Report prediction. And he will have his preview up, I believe, Ross, either late tonight, early tomorrow, probably more early in the morning, just before you head into the Fargo Dome, be sure to check out the NDSU on Scout Twitter feed or Ross's Twitter at Ross Huglum. So we want to thank you guys for listening once again. If you can, please head on over to the Bison Report. Check out all the great content we have on over there. You can rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever podcasting form you found us at. That would also be greatly appreciated in helping other NDSU fans find us. So we will be back next week to break down hopefully another NDSU Bison victory. For Ross, for myself, we thank you guys for listening, and go Bison.